You're listening to Agriculture Today.
As we look to the coming months, I am confident that the U.S. government will continue to work closely with industry experts and our trading partners to renegotiate and solidify this critically important trade deal. Now, I look forward to hearing from our witnesses today about the ways in which UMCA impacts their operations, as well as what their suggestions are for improvements.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, G.T. Thompson. Now, North American trade uncertainty is rising as Ag watches this review of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA. President Trump told reporters he's not looking to renew the pact, said the U.S. is talking with Canada and Mexico. USMCA negotiated under Trade Promotion Authority, also known as Fast Track Trade Authority, in the first Trump administration, and it was approved by Congress before taking effect back in 2020. Now, the authority that allowed that to happen, TPA, expired in 2021. Neither the Biden administration nor the current Trump administration have requested its reinstatement. So without fast-track authority, any major new trade deal requiring congressional approval would face ordinary legislative procedures, which makes it nearly impossible to get a trade deal done. Now, the U.S. Trade Representative's office has framed current talks around whether the agreement benefits U.S. farmers, ranchers, workers, and supply chains, Mexico pushing for long-term extension, Canada signaling bilateral deals could accompany the review. Either way, for producers, the issue is market uncertainty. Speaking of markets and certainty, U.S. pork exports have maintained a strong pace through April. Beef exports remain below last year's level as China access remains limited. USDA data showing pork demand broadening across several key markets. The April pork export number, over 257,000 metric tons. That's an 8% year-over-year increase. Value is up 6%. Mexico, Japan, Dominican Republic, Central America, and the Philippines have been driving the increase. Now, through the first 4 months of the year, pork exports reaching over 1 million metric tons. That's up 4% from last year, and export value also up 4%. Now, beef exports moving in the other direction. April shipments down 11%. Value declined 5%. Excluding China, January through April beef exports slightly higher in volume and 7% higher in value. And a farm can look solid on paper, but still run short of cash when crop prices fall or fertilizer and fuel costs rise. Purdue University's Dr. Michael Langemeyer says producers should update contingency plans as margins this year remain uncertain. He says a sources and uses of funds statement can help farms test whether operating cash will cover family living, taxes, debt payments, and possible equipment purchases. He says the tool especially useful when prices vary widely. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
My concerns with the USDA right now is this pushing forward of a reorg plan right in the middle of all of this mess.
At a Senate Ag Committee hearing on Wednesday, ranking member from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar.
The department has already lost around 20% of its employees, meaning fewer FSA staff to process farm loan and disaster aid applications, just at a time when farmers are facing more problems than they were the year before, the year before, the year before. Fewer NRCS conservationists to help farmers adopt popular conservation practices. And this really does mean something in the Midwest, where many of them rely on these programs, and fewer researchers developing solutions for the challenges our farmers face today, including, as discussed earlier, the New World screwworm. These staff losses come before a series of announcements from the department moving multiple agencies across the country, which we know results in even more disruption to staff. Farmers in Minnesota won't be better served by fewer experienced employees being relocated to Indianapolis, Kansas City, or yes, Salt Lake City, not exactly an ag-focused state. Instead, I encourage the USDA to prioritize staffing local county offices and ARS labs to help farmers access services and tackle issues they are facing right now. The department's reorganization proposal will significantly affect the ability to provide services to USDA stakeholders and the lives of the employees. We are asking for transparency and an open dialogue with the shared goal of ensuring the USDA is efficient and effective in its mission. Our concern is doing this right now in the middle of what is clearly some of the biggest headwinds that we've seen coming at agriculture and at rural America is a huge mistake, because it will mean, of course, less staff to deal with it, less experienced staff to deal with it, and a necessary disruption to serving our farmers.
Testifying before the Senate Ag Committee and pushing back, Secretary of Ag, Brooke Rollins.
We have been forward-leaning. EPA just approved some new fly technologies we've announced just the last few days, which will significantly increase our ability to battle this through sterile flies. We also broke ground on our Moore Air-based sterile fly facility in Texas about 6 months ago. That's a $750 million project. And that also opening up a dispersal facility earlier this year for the first time, and outfitting a facility in Matapa, Mexico, that will open this month that will increase our sterile fly production by 100 million flies. That all happened because of what we implemented over a year ago in preparation for this moment. And since January 2025, and this is a really, really important point for those who are saying that we were caught unprepared. When we walked in the door in January 2025, the last USDA had an equivalent of 10 full-time employees working on the New World screwworm. So about 17 months ago. A week ago, before it was even confirmed, we had over 110 full-time staff that we had staffed up over the last 15 months in preparation, almost a 1,000% increase in over a year in preparation. In short, we're using every single tool at our disposal, working very closely with our governor, Governor Greg Abbott, and all of the teams on the ground in Texas, in New Mexico, and across this country.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
It's still speculation. At this point, we still don't know it.
Vice President of Fertilizer with StoneX, Josh Linville.
We said North America looks like it's in fine shape. Yeah. And you look at the import expectation, and now we're getting that government information that's backing that point of view. It actually looks like we're going to end heavy on ending supplies. And around the rest of the world, not a single instance that I've heard, that doesn't mean it didn't exist, but we've not heard a single place say, I needed it. I could not get it. Mm-hmm. We planted the crop without the nitrogen. That's not happened. And I think to a certain extent, I think it's probably a few factors that come together. Now, number one, I do think that part of it has to do with the timing of demand. With the way that the prices were and everything else,
yeah.
I think you saw demand kind of stretch out. All of a sudden, people that might have come in a little bit earlier said, no, wait, let me see how this plays out. I don't have to if I don't want to. So I think that was part of it. However, I think a bigger part of it, I think for the first time, we actually saw demand destruction on nitrogen. And it's not a big percentage. Please don't listen to me say that and think that I'm talking 10, 15, 20, 25% demand destruction. I'm not saying that at all. But think about it on a global level. If every farmer in the world cut back their nitrogen application by a mere 3 to 5%, imagine the size of tons that all of a sudden puts back into the marketplace that wasn't there before. So we are talking major, major losses from Europe, from China, from Strait of Hormuz. But I think the farmers around the world kind of did the same thing, and they fought back and said, no, we're not going to stand for this. We're going to do what we can do to fight back against these higher prices. And I think that's what helped us out. And here we come into the summertime.
Yeah.
This is typically our summer demand lull. There's still tons out there.
When it comes to urea, we have India and China.
For those that might be new to the marketplace, China urea is to the urea market. They're basically kind of like the boogeyman. When they're there, prices tend to go down. They tend to be soft. Everybody's scared. They don't want to compete against those tons. It's a lot of tons in a short amount. All the things come out to justify lowering your price. Mm-hmm. And when they disappear, that allows prices to go higher. So they are a very, very big influence on the marketplace. And as they've been coming back to return to the market, prices have been pressured even further down. And there's been some confusion with it. It's all been confusion from the statements coming from China. They weren't exporting until August. Then all of a sudden they were going to export, but there was a high price floor. And it wasn't going to work in the world with where the price was. Then all of a sudden, we started out this week, no price floor whatsoever. And that shaped up right as everybody's getting ready to offer to India. And that helped put a lot of pressure on the price. And then all of a sudden, they came out 24 hours later and said, no price floor except for tons going to India. And the price floor is high enough, it doesn't work to go into India. So there's a lot of this confusion, a lot of this moving market, and people are frustrated this week. They're confused. I don't want to say they're fearful. They're just... It's a market that's very dangerous to be in because the market is just shifting every single day, sometimes by the hour. If I were to just look at the numbers, and we finally got that offer information yesterday, nearly 6 million tons were offered in total. They only wanted 1.7 million tons. Right. They got almost 6 million tons available. And if you look down through it, if you look at both of the coast, they only had to go, if everybody said yes, right, they would only have to go to the third offer to get the tons. Mm-hmm. And both of those third offers were within $10 of the lowest price. So just by the L1s of both coasts, they should get somewhere around 750,000 ton. But an interesting thing this morning, starting to hear that NFL has had to turn around and go counter every single offer. That shouldn't happen unless the offers are sitting there saying no, which would be completely shocking. And the biggest question I can continue to ask, India comes to you, you had the opportunity to sell. If you say no, you must think that there's a better opportunity. It could just be that they're going to sit on those tons and wait for the market to appreciate. They think this is the lowest point of the marketplace, even though I kind of argue that if the strait reopens, we're going to get lower. But even if that's the case, where are you going? Australia is in good shape. Most of the Northern Hemisphere is beyond their spring season and won't need a whole lot until next spring for application. Your best bet for tons is to go dump them in Brazil and South America. And frankly, that's already happening.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I'm on multiple calls every day since we have moved now into the next phase of the battle.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins testifying before the Senate Ag Committee on Wednesday.
You all know we closed the ports a year ago, which was a very difficult decision, especially for our feeders in Texas. But the purpose was the every model showed screwworm hitting our side of the border last summer. So that would have been just about 8 or 12 weeks after we came into office. And I looked at all the facts and said, we've got to slow this down and do whatever we can to be better prepared when it gets here. And that's what we were able to do. So, Senator Bozeman, right now, there are no additional authorities, but I really appreciate the question. I want to give a big shout out to my boss, President Trump. Last spring, as you know, we were deep into the Department of Government Efficiency with Mr. Musk, and we were working to try to return the footprint of government back to something that was reasonable for our taxpayers and for our country. But I walked in the Oval Office, and I said, sir, there is a pretty serious threat to our livestock that's headed our way. And when we need 500 million sterile flies a week, we're only producing 100 million out of Panama because everyone took their eye off the ball years ago. And unfortunately, because of the border policies, it's coming our way. And he said, well, what do you need? And I said, well, I need $1 billion to start building a significant facility to surge staff. This was about 14 or 15 months ago. And without hesitation, a couple of questions, but without hesitation, he said, go. So because of that green light, we were able to move very quickly to prepare for today. You know, I walked in to this job. I was with you all February 13th of last year. Then, January 27th, and went to the vote February 13th and went over to Justice Thomas, got sworn in, walked in the door of USDA, and within the first 2 hours was briefed on both HPAI and screwworm. The screwworm briefing was, it's coming. It will be here in a couple months this summer. We are only producing 100 million flies a week. We're years away. Like an actual big facility will take at least 5 years, 2 years of permitting, 3 years of build. But we, you know, oh well, I guess we're just going to do what we have to do. And I said, this is not acceptable. We've got to try to do something. So of course we closed the ports. I went and talked to the president. We got almost $1.5 billion in immediate funding. Mm-hmm. I asked what this breached the dairying gap in 2021. After decades of being, you know, eradicated, if you will, but that, you know, tens of millions of people moving north to America, bringing their livestock with them, the Mexican cartels with the illicit cattle traffic, we knew it was coming. Put it off for a year, but in the meantime, amped up by 1,000% our staffing over the last year. I had FDA emergency approve half a dozen or so treatments. Texas Animal Health Commission and the other states will lead now the front line, but we're right there with them. Opened up the new facility in Kerrville, Texas, the new research facility, outfitted the new facility in Matapa, Mexico. Tens of millions of dollars. We're going to have more sterile flies in the next few weeks. We started that last summer and, of course, broke ground within years ahead of schedule, and we'll hopefully be opening that next spring, again, years ahead of schedule. I say all of that because what I don't understand, Senator Hovind, is how did the last USDA watch it coming for years? It broke the gap in 2021, mm-hmm. moving up 2022, moving up 2023, spreading, hits Mexico 2024. There's no stopping it. There's not enough sterile flies. Why did no one do anything about it until we walked in the door in January and February of last year? Well, it is a question that I still don't understand, but we're making a lot of progress.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I want to say up front that while I'm happy to have a great group of witnesses before us, I'm disappointed that USTR and USDA did not make themselves available for this hearing.
Ranking member of the House Ag Committee from Minnesota, Angie Craig.
Agriculture is a huge part of USMCA, and this committee needs to have the opportunity to hear directly and publicly from the administration on how they are advancing agriculture interest during negotiations. Right now, America's farmers are facing the worst economic crises since the 1980s. Inputs are up, prices are down, and markets, in many cases, have been decimated. Now more than ever, they need trade certainty to help weather the storm. They are pleading for it, not trade, not aid. Yet, for the past year and a half, we've watched this administration do the exact opposite. It's destroyed America's reputation as a reliable trade partner. We've seen an abuse of tariffs and an inconsistent approach to trade barriers that raise prices for consumers while creating an unpredictable business environment. Amidst this cloud of economic uncertainty, family farmers have been able to largely turn to our allies to the north and south as reliable markets for our goods. They've served as ports in the storm during this difficult economic times. Now, by threatening to blow up USMCA, the president and his administration are threatening the last source of trade certainty our farmers have. Their right to have concerns, this president is unstable. In the past year, the president has asked, who would ever sign a thing like this? This might surprise the current Trump administration, but USMCA was negotiated by the first Trump administration and signed by President Trump. And while USMCA may not be perfect, there are certainly improvements that we should make. It's still vital for American farmers, ranchers, foresters, and businesses. In our continued pursuit to feed, clothe, and fuel the world, Mexico and Canada remain our top agriculture trade partners. Our relationships with these allies put money in the pockets of family farmers and creates and supports jobs up and down the food supply chain. In just the last year, my state, Minnesota, exported over $2 billion worth of agriculture products to Mexico and Canada. Our top ag exports are corn, grain, and oilseed milling products and soybeans. Minnesota exported 51 million in eggs to Canada and 44 million worth of sugar to Mexico. In total, agricultural exports to Mexico and Canada support nearly 10,000 jobs in Minnesota. That's 10,000 people in Minnesota able to keep food on their table, raise a family, and put a roof over their head because of North American trade. That's 10,000 Minnesotans whose jobs are at risk because President Trump would rather bully allies than build with them. It worries me when the president calls USMCA irrelevant. It's even more concerning that at a time when we should be working with our allies to lower costs for farmers and fight back the influence of China, that the president announced a new 10% tariff on Canada, Mexico, and the EU. The timing could not be worse for more chaos. Our farm economy cannot take any more shocks to the system. Right now, we need to be strengthening our relationships with allies, not undermining them. And I think that the testimony we hear today will affirm that trade across North America is absolutely vital.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
One way we've delivered on commitment to producers is through the Working Families Tax Cuts. The President signed into law historic investments to farm country 1 year ago, providing long overdue updates to agriculture policies that better reflect today's realities producers in Arkansas and across the nation experience. These improvements respond directly to concerns farmers have raised for years and provides meaningful support and predictability to help them continue operating for years to come.
Chairman of the Senate Ag Committee from Arkansas, Dr. John Bozeman.
We appreciate USDA's urgency in implementing these policies so farmers can realize their benefits this fall. I look forward to hearing further updates on USDA's implementation of these programs. This landmark law also includes investments in USDA's premier animal health programs to help mitigate threats such as the New World screwworm. We know how critical these investments are, particularly as 6 domestic cases have been confirmed in just the last week. Madam Secretary, we appreciate the aggressive approach you and your team have taken to slow down the advancement of this pest toward our border and to implement measures that protect America's livestock industry. We have successfully eradicated New World screwworm before, and I'm confident we can do so again. We are looking forward to you and your team at USDA to continue leading this effort in safeguarding the health and security of America's herd. We must continue supporting agriculture sectors vital to our rural communities. Our cotton producers have faced significant economic headwinds in recent years. Cotton remains a cornerstone crop for Arkansas and states across the Cotton Belt, supporting farm families, rural communities, and manufacturers. This is why I strongly support the Buying American Cotton Act. I was pleased to see USDA's recent announcement promoting the domestic cotton industry. We appreciate that very much. At a time when our producers are competing in a challenging global marketplace, we should be doing everything we can to support American-grown products and the hardworking men and women who produce them. Similarly, I know many of our committee members on both sides of the aisle support year-round E15. I do too, and we are working hard to get that done. We also need to protect the energy security for local and regional communities and protect those jobs in rural America. I support the proposal put forward by Senators Fisher and Capito and the hope the Senate moves quickly on that bill. Just as importantly, our producers have access to the resources they need to succeed. Fertilizer remains one of the most significant input costs facing farmers, and they are seeing dramatic rises in cost and are concerned about future availability. The results of the American Farm Bureau Federation survey this year underscores the concerns I continue to hear from producers in Arkansas and across the country. Among Arkansas farmers who responded, only 12% reported pre-ordering fertilizer, highlighting the uncertainty and financial pressures producers are experiencing. I appreciate USDA's attention to this issue as well as the opportunity to join you to discuss long-term strategies to lower the cost of fertilizer. I look forward to working with my colleagues to advance policies to provide relief in the future. We have a tremendous opportunity before us to update farm policies and Farm Bill 2.0. I look forward to releasing text very soon that incorporates many bipartisan measures and, just as importantly, the priorities of farmers, ranchers, and foresters so they have updated policies to meet their needs. I am hopeful we can deliver a farm bill that farmers, ranchers, foresters, and rural communities deserve. Lastly, I remain committed to advancing the farm assistance package Senator Hove and I have proposed in January. There are many additional challenges that have risen since then that demonstrate the urgency to provide our producers, including our specialty crop producers, with more support.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.